Bad Motivators.
Shit. Yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 315 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strothers. And with me, as always, is my excellent co-host, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
Sweet, man. Well, hey, just kidding. Of course, nobody listens to the show all the way to the end anymore. So how would you know I even said that? Here we are, buddy. Here we are. And at this point, we are 2 days before the season 3 of The Mandalorian starts. So by the time everybody's hearing this, none of what we say will matter because there will be a new episode of the show we are going to talk about. Yeah. And there's already a new episode of the show I wish we could talk about, but haven't watched it. And there will be the first episode of season 3 of The Mandalorian. So congratulations. And I probably should have gone ahead with the sweet man. Well, hey, me. But how are you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm okay now. I had a bit of a medical emergency on Tuesday evening. I just spent the last hour explaining it all to Eric before this. But
it's actually Tuesday night now. The Mandalorian's actually going to come out in 10 minutes. We should probably just go ahead and
we should just do a live reaction together since we're already here. Yeah. I had a bit of a medical emergency. I'm not going to go into great detail about it because I just recounted it to Eric and it was extensive process. I'm a long talker. So I had my first ever panic attack and I never had one before. And I just said that. But I literally thought I was dying. I thought I was having a heart attack. And the only reason why I'm really bringing it up is because a couple of our friends know about it in a little bit. And also, I just wanted to say that sometimes when you think you're having a heart attack, you're not. And you may just be high strung like myself and take way too many stimulants, you know, caffeine, nicotine, don't get enough sleep. I also, a while back, was diagnosed with ADHD, so I've been on Adderall and everything else. So it's just too much. It's just too much, and it got to me, and unexpectedly. I wasn't even, like, severely stressed. It was weird. And it was a major ordeal, and I was in the emergency room for, like, 3 hours. It was awesome. My whole neighborhood of... What's funny is like the people in my neighborhood are like used to seeing ambulances show up, but they're not used to it being the few young people in the neighborhood that are getting in the ambulances. So they were all a little mystified when they showed up to our house. So I just want to say like it's easy to get in the routine of indulging in way too many stimulants, especially in our world right now, the way things are, the way we have to do so many jobs, the way we have to juggle so many hats, you know what I mean? Wear so many hats, juggle so many balls, whatever, you get the reference.
I was just going to let it go.
Yeah, well, I could feel your brain going, idiot.
You're doing your hats wrong.
And I just want to say, like, you know, just take notice, like be aware of what you're putting into your body. Like, you know, like, yeah, you may have had that fifth cup of coffee that day and you've done it several times before, but maybe just try to find a way to not have so many and find a way to get a little bit more sleep.
That's what I was going to mention, man. I've been very keenly aware that like lack of sleep is terrible for your longevity.
Yeah.
It attributes... contributes to high blood pressure, strokes, heart attacks, everything, dietary issues, weight loss, just aging.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things I can very much relate because I've abused stimulants essentially my whole life.
Yeah.
And like one of my superpowers from being bipolar is the ability to function quite well on very little sleep to the point I would pride myself on it.
Yeah.
And I realize how stupid it is. And here's what's weird too. And maybe you're going through this. Let me ask you, and listeners, I'd be curious to know, tweet at us if you've felt like this is, I don't want to go to sleep.
Yeah.
I've got so much stuff I want to do that like I intentionally try to not go to sleep. It's like a little kid who's like, no, I don't want to go to sleep. And you're nodding off and you're like, I swear I'm not tired.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's about, man.
I don't know what it is either. Like I saw somebody on TikTok talk about it at one point saying like, it's like the fear of missing out. Like, cause you work so much and like, you know, I know the joke is now that I'm, you know, a kept man living off my wife and it's true, but there was a, like I've been working since I was 15 years old. Like
yeah.
It wasn't like I just had been the slacker my whole life.
Right.
And honestly, that's part of the reason why I've had so much anxiety is because I'm no longer like in that drive and I have been forever. So you kind of don't know what to do with yourself. Sometimes you throw in the ADHD and everything else. And it's just a time bomb waiting to explode. It's what it is. And I still feel that need to stay up so I can do the things that I enjoy doing, but I'm not at work all day. Then my kids finally go to sleep. Then my wife falls asleep. Then I can finally do something I want to do. You know what I mean?
And that's. Well, buddy,
that's what it is.
I'm sure I speak for everyone besides myself when we say that we're glad you're okay.
Thanks, buddy. Now,
Cruiser and I have spoken with this at length, man. He knows I was genuinely worried about him.
Yeah. No, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate too the few people that who did know who reached out to me. That was nice. I appreciate the concern. I am okay. Like what's funny though is, you know, I was telling Eric before, like, you know, like I never was really worried about heart attacks because despite my shitty lifestyle, I had impeccable blood pressure. Like it was like, the doctors are always like, really? When they get my reads, I'm like, suck on that doc every time. Yeah. You know what I mean? And even when I left the emergency room, like I was looking at, I don't know if you guys use My Chart or some other similar like online service to look at your records and whatnot, but I was looking at the summary of the whole thing. This, you know, next to the like three doses of Ativan, they pumped my body to calm my heart down. They put in there that like my blood pressure was like, I'm like 100 something over 60, which is like really good. but my last heart beat per minute they took that was like 100, which is still pretty high, but like not aggressively high. Right.
And which 100 is more common for people who use lots of stimulants.
Yeah. Yeah. But when I was in the ambulance, it was like 185, which is not good. So yeah. And I will say, as far as if you find yourself getting into that panic state and you don't know what's happening, like you feel like what happened to me is I felt my heart kind of like palpitate. It was like weird. And then it kind of sent me in a spiral. I would say do your best to breathe through your nose as soon as you can, because you're going to start hyperventilating, which is what I did for like 40 minutes. And it's a very traumatic, aggressive experience, especially when you think you're going to die in front of your young children. So if I had any advice, it would be just to try your best to try to convince yourself that it's not as bad as it seems, because it does pass. But also don't be afraid to go to the fucking hospital.
Oh yeah.
It might be something else.
So. Yeah. That's one thing that's a bitch about like, listen, people, I swear we'll actually get to like our standard content. No. But it's like, I've talked about this before. It's when I was laying in bed having chest pains and I'm like, this is probably nothing, or it could be that I'm having a heart attack. But if I go to the hospital and it turns out to be nothing and I've got thousands of dollars in medical bills, even though I have insurance, I really can't handle that. And so I make my health decisions based on the financial impact of it versus the whether or not I'm going to be there for my kids. And that's effed up, man.
Welcome to America, Bubby. Mm-hmm. That was another major stress on me was when I knew my wife was calling 911 and I knew the ambulance were going to be there and I knew there's going to be an ambulance ride involved and the cost of that, the cost of the emergency room itself. Like, we have insurance too, after a certain deductible, like, you know, it's paid for, but it's just like, there's a lot of not insured people who are not insured.
Or vastly, grossly underinsured, yeah.
Yeah, trying to pay as little as they can just to get by with the inflation of everything and everything else. Like, who will just go, well, I hope it's nothing.
Right.
Because I can't afford to go. And that's it's a scary thing. And I'm sure a lot of our friends across the pond and beyond don't quite understand, because they're able to go to a hospital when they're sick and be taken care of.
Right.
And not worry about this large bill that they will come after you for. So, like, it's a whole thing, man. But I am glad to be here. I will say, I feel grateful today that I'm here speaking with you. That is, it is like, and I almost said that on the stream, but I said not the other day when you were streaming with your son. I said, oh man, it's my two favorite guys back at it again. And what I wanted to say was, like, it feels great to be sitting here watching you guys. That's how I felt. And ever since then, I've been trying to keep my stress low and, like, trying to, like, take in less nicotine, I've taken way less caffeine. I can't quite quit taking my medication, otherwise I'll have even worse side effects. So anyways, that's it. But just take care of yourself, guys. It's easy to forget about your health until it's too late. So
a wise band once said, be good to yourself when nobody else will. Mm. Oh, be good to yourself. Thank you, Steve Perry and Journey. So listen, man, why don't we take a big, hard swerve here?
Please.
And go straight to this number. Right here. Oh, yeah. Well, listen, Cruiser.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go first because I actually got something.
Sweet.
I was at Target the other day walking around with Amanda, cruise through the Star Wars section that is like two peg hooks, and they had about 50 of the Ferrix technician or Ferrix officer still, whatever that guy's called. And I mean, seriously, two full cases of them is what they got. And they have 1 7/8 of a case left, I'm pretty sure. But I went over by the Bluey stuff and they've got those cool little plushes. And I'm like, oh, I'd like to have them. They're $5, that price point. And guess what was in there?
What?
A little Bob Bilby puppet. And if you don't know who Bob Bilby is, Bob Bilby is the hand puppet that goes home with the kids in Bingo's class and they take pictures of, like, what the family does, unique things the family does, experiences they have with Bob Bilby, and put it in a book. And so for people in the States, it's kind of like Flat Stanley. You send Flat Stanley off, like my good friend from the Canto Bite Dispatch and just, you know, being my friend, Emily Lind, she took Henry's Flat Stanley around New York City and got some dope ass pictures with him. It's kind of like that, except you do it with your family, and it's Bob Bilby, and it's freaking adorbs, man. And I brought it home, and it's sitting on this shelf in the kitchen, and Stella saw it, and she's like too cool for school. If you guys have ever listened to my family's Bluey podcast, Dinner with the Healers, available wherever you find fine podcasts, and this one. She's the one that I have to, like, drag kicking and screaming to record. And it's like anybody who listens closely can tell. She's like the quick one word answers that she's answering before I even finish talking. So Stella, do you have anything to add? No.
Yep.
Okay. But she saw this and, like, lit up like Christmas Day, man. Her face was just... it was so sweet. So yeah, I got a freaking Bob Bilby puppet and I am super thrilled about it.
That's cool. I bet anytime you can do something that like tickles her fancy, like you're just super thrilled.
And, oh yeah, dude. Absolutely. I love my kids so much, and being able to share something like that with them. And one of the things I told Amanda is that, you know, money can't buy happiness, right?
Yeah.
And we go do things where, like, for the kid's birthday, for Stella's birthday last year, I think we went to Build-A-Bear. We spent a shit ton of money. And, like, Henry's bear that he got, it's one of the Harry Potter bears. It says Harry Potter on the foot. So it was like $30 more than it should have been. Yeah. But I had let him get all the Harry Potter clothes for his bear and stuff.
Yeah.
And Stella got this horse. And, you know, she was really wanting some kind of cat, and they didn't have anything. And Amanda's like, you know, she was joking around, quote unquote, but you can tell she's given it some thought that, yeah, I left to go to the bathroom because they don't have a bathroom at the store. And she had to go all the way across this parking lot, come back, and suddenly they've got all these accessories picked out and all this stuff. I'm like, oh, you're joking, even though you've plainly thought about this in a negative light. But I was trying to explain to her, it's about the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, ideally you spent this money and you wish it was, but it was about the moment. What you spent that money on was the moment.
Yeah.
And cherish those moments, because they're not always going to be there. It's like for all of our friends getting ready to go to Star Wars Celebration, and I'm really starting to get like feeling real sad about missing out on that. Yeah. You've got anybody who's been to one knows it's like the friendships you've made and stuff. Spend less time worrying about the convention and more time worrying about being with those friends that you're going to get to see for that period of time, and then go on your way. But anyway, that's all I got. Cruiser, man. Did you get anything besides a horrible health scare?
I got the gift of continued life. That's pretty good. I'm trying to think. You know, this is kind of like a preemptive kind of like video game thing, but like a lot of video game companies do this thing like where, I mean, they could easily give you the license to be able to, you know, if you transfer over to another device, you could then say play said game. Like some of the few games, like there's some games on it. There's like some Xbox Anywhere games that you could like put on your PC or put on your Xbox or whatever. Activision and Infinity War when it comes to Call of Duty, not so much. So like, I know you don't care because it's Call of Duty, but those sons of bitches, they got me out of convenience. That's what they got me. They got me to buy the latest Modern Warfare 2 game again, because I was tired of playing like Warzone on my computer and then switching over to my Xbox to play the multiplayer. They got me good, those sons of bitches. And because like the thing is, I've gotten so used to using my much better setup to game, like not necessarily the system itself, but like, I mean, it's fantastic. But I mean, like my audio setup, like being able to control the chat, being able to hear the in-game stuff much better and everything else through my computer and my GoXLR, that like changing over to my Xbox to play just basically the same game, but just like the slightly different version of it was like a painful fucking thing. It was just like, I don't want to say it's painful because whatever, but like, it's such one of those things. Like the time is money speech. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I'm trying to like get shit done and like live thing. I bought this computer. I want to use it. And, they got me again. It was on sale. It's like 35% off. But, and that's ultimately why I ended up buying it. I'm like, oh, it's 35% off. You're fucking going to do it now.
I understand, man. You know, good sales.
I mean, you bought Reddit like six times. So, I mean,
twice for myself, once for somebody else who doesn't play it. Breaks my heart. They just couldn't get into the aiming mechanic of it.
Yeah. I, trying to think of anything else. Oh, I, did you buy that boosting pack of character in Fortnite I was telling you about?
I did.
You did, yeah. I bought it for Max too. And he's now level like 216.
More on video games coming up later in the video game power hour.
Yeah.
Which is really only about 10 minutes long, but it'll feel like an hour for anybody who doesn't game. So, well, that's cool, man. Speaking of somebody getting something, listen, I mentioned this last week and I've had some people jump on board with this and it's much appreciated. I'm building a lightsaber for good friend Hawes Burkhart of the Blue Harvest and High Potion Podcast. He is having a milestone birthday this year and I wanted to do something nice for him. And it's not a big deal if I don't recoup the cost of the parts by any stretch of the imagination. That doesn't bother me. But if people want to give to it as part of a gift to Hawes, hit me up. Hit me up. It's pretty cool. Several people have contributed already, and this is going to be a dope-ass saber. It's going to be one of those sabers that's so cool that I will genuinely be considering like not being his friend anymore and just dropping off the face of the earth so that I can keep it for myself. One of those situations. So anyway, that's a thing.
That seems to happen with the most recent ones you built, because you built the first ones for yourself, right? And then you start building other people. And you're like, man, I'm getting better at this each time.
Better ones, you know, like with cooler blades and more feature set and better soundboards and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, because the Graflex saber I made for Ed was so good. It's like, oh.
You're like, he's all way in Maine. He'll never know.
Yeah. What's he going to do? Come here. There's no way to get from Maine to St. Louis. If you looked at a map.
Well, if there's one thing about Ed, we know he's got no problem spending no expense to make that shit happen. So you better watch yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so that's a cool thing. Anyhow, so there you go. It's just something to think about. So while we're talking about celebration, StarWars.com revealed that the next celebration will occur in 2025. That's right. There will be no Star Wars celebration in 2024, which sucks, but you know, it gives pukes like myself a chance to try to generate the money it's going to take to go to said celebration. Yeah. Please don't have it on Easter weekend. Please.
Please be in Chicago too. That'd be great.
Actually, please be in Melbourne. That would really.
Oh, you want to go to Australia?
Hell yeah, buddy.
I mean, so do I, but not for Star Wars Celebration. No offense, everybody. Dude,
the Star Wars Celebration would be the least of my concerns. That'd just be a reason to get there. It'd be everything else. It'd be all my Aussie friends. And hell, I would record an episode of Dinner with the Healers while I was there in the motherland.
Yeah, no, I told my wife like that Celebration was going to England, right? Or whatever, the UK. Yeah. And I was like, it could be a good excuse to go to England. And she's like, well, I'm going to not go to a convention if I'm going to the UK for the first time, Luke. I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm just trying to think of an excuse to like, you know, give us an excuse to go and then like just avoid the convention. You know what I mean? Like go like a day and then like see people and then like, then go see the sites, you know? She's like, well, we can go there other times. I'm like, I know, but we might not if we don't have a reason. You know what I mean? Well, that's what I was
trying. Yeah. What I would do probably is get over there with the family ahead of time, go do stuff, and then have them come to one day of the convention and then put them on a plane and stay. So you don't have to
deal
with
the kids on the long drive right home?
Well, no, I mean, that wouldn't be bad. You know, it's just one direction. But anyhow, so there's a thing. There's a thing.
One direction for fucking 18 hours.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what cough syrup's for. So let's talk about what they're likely to talk about at Celebration. And one of the things that they'll undoubtedly talk about is the future of Star Wars TV. They'll talk about the movies that are going to come out, right?
Yeah.
And so on and so on. But we're going to talk about Star Wars TV because I saw something today on BespinBulletin.com. One of my favorite Star Wars news websites. As a matter of fact, it's like my first stop.
Yeah.
Every time. It's my first stop. So one is that Rosario Dawson said that Ahsoka will come out in the fall. We've talked about that. But I didn't realize it was her that said that that's when it was going to be. So that's pretty rad, right? But get this. Speaking of ladies in Star Wars, and I am semi dumbfounded by this, is that Cara Dune will still exist in the universe, but she's unlikely to appear in season 3 of The Mandalorian.
Yes. He's going to recast her?
It just says, hang on. Let me make sure I get the facts straight. Blah 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 da 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 da.
I mean, that is kind of dumb though.
One of the questions fans had for the highly anticipated third season was what would become a Cara Dune. It seemed unlikely that Disney and Lucasfilm would recast, blah, blah, blah. During a chat with Deadline, Rick Famuyiwa, who was promoted to the executive producer of The Mandalorian Season 3, because Favreau and Filoni were busy working on Ahsoka and Skeleton Crew, he said that Cara Dune, or I can't remember how he pronounces it, was a big part and continues to be part of the world, quote unquote. And so, yeah, I don't know what that mean. And he talks about how Filoni talked about how she's a great character and was vital to Din Djarin's beginnings. But yeah, that's what we know.
Well, I mean, they're not wrong in that respect. Like, I mean, she definitely was a vital character for Mandalorian, for Din Djarin. But it's also such a lightning rod of a topic, like, that it would be better to just slowly forget about her. That'd be the best way to go about it, because you're going to piss off the people who, for some reason, support her. And then if you recast her, and then you're going to, like, get the people who were against her, like, oh, she's still there. You know, that's cool. You know, because they were talking about having, like, what's her name? The Xena Warrior Princess, like, replace her. Mm-hmm. Remember? Well, what's her name? Forget her name. She was in.
If you hadn't said it, I could have told you immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not a big deal. But they were going to have her replace her. Oh, that was a joke. Like, they were like, so I don't know. I think it'd just be best just to
Lucy Lawless.
There you go. It'd be better just to, like, let her not be come back.
Yeah.
Because she kind of had, like, an almost, like, I wouldn't say nothing role in the second season, but it felt less significant.
It definitely was. But yeah. So that's a thing. So how about them apples? But then here's another thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Favreau said that the fourth season of The Mandalorian would not be its last, and that he had no endpoint in mind. This was with the Inside Total Film podcast. I will read the exact quote. No, I don't. That was when he was asked if it had an ending in mind. Sorry, I should have prefaced it with that. I think the beauty of this, meaning The Mandalorian Season 3, is that it's a middle chapter of a much larger story, and though we'll have resolution over time with these characters, I think that how these characters fit into the larger scope and scale, but it's not like there's a finale we're building to that I have in mind. Quite the contrary, somehow Palpatine returned. I love these stories to go on and on. So these characters could potentially be with us for a while. And I really love telling stories in their voice. Why don't we pull some Holdo maneuvers? And I love the way the adventures unfold. And I'm looking forward to doing much more, somehow Palpatine returned. So, yeah, I mean, there's no end point in mind. And who knows how many seasons we'll get.
Well, I imagine it would eventually go to, like, the spinoff category. It's kind of how it would go, because you can't just have. I mean, you could, but like people are already slightly, I don't know, perturbed by The Mandalorian and some of the story, I guess.
I suppose,
but, like, you know, I'm here for it. Like, I love the story, and I know some of it gets really, really tropey sometimes, and very, like, oh, the kid's in danger and I'm saving him again over and over again. But, like, that's kind of the whole thing. Like, this is a Jedi kid. That's a big deal. And, but, you know, you should have left him with the fucking Jedi.
How dare you?
You know, the best one that we knew of that was left. So I don't know. It's one of those things where you kind of wrote your, they kind of wrote themselves into a corner, and now they're trying to like find a way to write themselves out because they, I have a, do you think the decision to have Grogu come back to Mando so soon and not even in his own show, was because Disney was like, hey, you can't just like stop this merch line. You can't just stop this gravy train.
Well, Favreau said something about kind of similar to that. It's like, well, we can't just do a whole reset on this. Yeah. I mean, what the hell? What kind of almost like a what were we thinking sort of thing?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm
like sure they had regret or something for
probably. Well, yeah. It's like, I mean, they probably planned on it, him coming back, but I don't know like when they decided to do that, right? Yeah. But I used to be a big fan of Family Guy.
Yeah.
And not that it's not still a good show. Maybe it is. I just haven't watched it in a long time. But there was one episode where they killed off Brian, the dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they ended up bringing like this replacement dog in after kind of a fan uproar. And yeah. Then they ended up having Stewie travel through time and save Brian and brought him back to the show because of fan outcry. They can say it was for something else. But you know what they did? They used it as an opportunity to be super preachy about how you need to cherish what you got when you got it, like almost like they were punishing us for not loving the character enough. I don't know. But I was like, listen, why don't you just admit that this was a stupid move? For one, it's a freaking cartoon. There's no need to have a major tragedy hit the family like that. Don't be stupid. But anyhow,
I mean, and they could have been funny and then had him die and then just show up again. Like, hey, I'm here. They're like, what? Yeah, it's a cartoon. Deal with it. and the like credits roll and he's back next week. Like nothing happened. You know, like, oh my God, they killed Kenny. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, but that became a thing in South Park, obviously. He always dies. That's the whole deal.
Right.
But like, you know, they could have just, like, why would you want to get rid of Brian anyways in something like that? Like, that seems so weird. Like, he was one of the most popular characters. Why would you get rid of him? I mean, the whole dynamic when he and Stewie is probably half the reason why people watch the show. And, anyways.
Yeah, but, isn't that weird, man? Yeah. But anyhow, so yeah, there you go. But
Now I'm ready. I'm pumped for the season three premiere. I really want to get, you know, really Mandoed up. Did you see that recent 30-second
clip? Yeah, yeah.
I'm a little bummed out about it. I'm honest, not because I was spoiled about anything, but because we already kind of seen how he was leaning.
Uh-huh.
But they're really driving home the fact that he's really trying to repent and get back with the keep your helmets on always nuttos.
Right. Right.
And I was like, man, I thought you grew beyond that. I thought that was the whole point, was that you showed us your pretty face and everything else. And probably I'm starting to feel like the best episode of The Mandalorian, that Bill Burr episode has a lasting impact on me. It's very good. And I know you got Luke Skywalker and the other ones, whatever else, but like that one just seems so like grounded and real and like really like visceral. And, you went through all of that. Like you were willing to give away everything to save this kid who you loved. And now you're like, oh, we got to get back to him. Get back. I'm just like, no, buddy. I mean, like, even like in the thing, like, who are we without our creed? Yada, yada. Which, you know, you could say is like, who are we if we don't stay true to ourselves? Yada, yada.
Right.
But like, at the same time, like, these people are telling you that you are an apostate because you took off your helmet and basically you are scum. And it's just like, you got to like go to like the pits of hell essentially to work your way back out of it. And I'm just like, I guess that could be cool to see, but at the same time, I don't want to see him. Like we were starting to get some real like feeling and like character out of him. And now they're going to be like back to his drony self working for the armorer.
Right. You
I just don't know, man.
So, you know, one thing that's wild to me about that is I wonder how much of the story was driven by the fact that they couldn't get Pedro Pascal to be there for filming.
That's an interesting, interesting thought.
And I don't know, man.
Well, I mean, it's the role is very convenient to have a superstar.
Oh, sure. Sure, sure. When all he has to do is record voice lines.
Yeah, which is no easy feat, but it's way easier than doing the scene. You know what I mean?
The wild thing about it is, as somebody who records a voice all the time, is that because of the modulation of the helmet, his audio doesn't even have to be that good.
Yeah.
I mean, he could very well just do it in a hotel.
Yeah.
And
it could even be like not even like a super, like, you know, uncompressed, high quality, you know, file. Mm. It could just be, you know, a worn down MP3. It wouldn't matter because they just this modulation on it.
Do it over Skype.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like he's like literally like reading his lines through his laptop microphone.
So just so that everybody knows, they didn't tell him he was an apostate. He just simply is one, because the definition of it is somebody who has left behind their religious or political beliefs. That's what it is. So, yeah, it's not like a name that they called him. We have deemed you an apostate. That's just, he is one.
I could have swore they called him an apostate.
Well, they probably did, but I'm not, what I'm saying is them calling him that didn't make him decide he was one.
Oh,
that'd be like calling him, you know, you're a guy in armor. Yes, I am a guy in armor. It's like that. He did exactly that. He abandoned his religious beliefs or principles. Right. That's what he is. It's not like they called him it's not like they stuck an A on him, scarlet letter style. It's just, that's what it is. He's an apostate.
Don't they normally use the term backslider these days?
No, because most of the time, like a backslider will be somebody who still considers themselves a Christian, but does another thing instead. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, that's what, I have, like, around here, we have a large, maybe it's where you are too. We have a large selection of a Pentecostal, like a large population of a Pentecostal, worshipers and, whatever. And I worked with a few when I worked at a UPS store, and one of them, won't say her name, but one of them, not that it matters. But,
Nancy.
Nancy. She wanted to cut her hair, and she wanted to wear pants and, you know, do the things that her friends were doing and things like that. And she still believes in Jesus and God and all that stuff, but like she just couldn't get over what she deemed the too strict rules of their religion.
Right.
And so she said they always call me a backslider all the time. And it sounds so offensive. Just the word just sounds so offensive.
Well, it's like, you know, they've made this progress and then they've just gone backwards. But yes, that's a real popular. And I love it when somebody will tell you that so-and-so is backslidden. I'm like, that's the dumbest word I've ever heard that you just made up.
Yeah, no.
They were backslided.
Yeah.
That's what they were.
Yeah.
If you really want to know. But it's 6-1.
I didn't know if that was like a Pentecostal term or that was just a genuine term like all religions use. I didn't know.
I think that it's kind of one of those things that most, at least sects, if you will, of Christianity use it. Hang on, I'm looking it up. It's just a general noun, meaning someone who lapses into previous undesirable patterns or behaviors.
Yeah.
Mrs. Blah didn't care that Pa was glued to the Lakers and Celtics game, or that Big Ma was just a step from calling her a backslider and a heathen. I don't know what the hell that's from. But it's just an example. But like, it doesn't just apply to religion. You know what I mean? Like somebody who's an alcoholic who ends up falling off the wagon is a backslider. But the Toadies had a really good song called Backslider on their first album, their good album. Great record, man. Possum Kingdom.
I'll look it up sometime.
It's on that record. Dude. Oh, I love that album. They were coming to St. Louis to play, and I got tickets to go. Or no, I didn't get tickets. It was an at-the-door thing. And then whenever I got there, it was canceled.
Oh.
And I'm like, why is nobody here? And apparently they had announced it on the radio. I don't know, but it was canceled. And that's when a guy comes up to me and says, hey, man, I got a flat tire.
Just like that?
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Hey, man. He's like, I got a flat tire. Can you give me some cash? I need to get some fix a flat. And I handed him a $5 and he got mad. And he says, this is the best you can do. Like real crappy. I just took the $5 from him right out of his hand. I'm like, nope, later days, man. But anyhow, there was no car with a flat tire. That's my bet. But anyhow, Backslider by the Toadies. I'm telling you, get that album, by the way. Okay. The Toadies, man. Do you remember the song Possum Kingdom?
Probably. I don't know the name of it.
Yeah. It's the one that goes like, it's in alternating bars. It goes like 4-4-3-4-4-4-4-4. It goes, so that where it does it just the one time, it's a bar of three.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's really cool. Make up your mind. I used to sing that in bands all the time. Oh, those were the days. Oh my God. Speaking of which, complete detour here. Today, Spotify was just playing songs that I had liked.
Yeah.
And one of them was the song Alone by Heart. And I know I've told this story on the show, but I'm going to tell it again. The lady who I work with, she ran the band after I did. And she is like the best vocalist I've ever worked with. She has perfect pitch, pretty much. She led the Air Force band. Okay. And like she sung at the World Series.
Nice.
Sang the national anthem. I mean, she's for real, man. She's amazing. Anyway, we were the last ones at church one Sunday afternoon. She and her husband and their kid were walking around and I'm still finishing up and I can hear her out in the hall, she's walking down and she's singing Alone by Heart. And if you guys have never heard the song, it's really good. But anyway, she gets to the pre-chorus and I can hear her and she's like walking down. She goes, till now, I always got by on my own. And then the next line is, I never really cared until I met you. But there's the harmony comes in right then. And I busted this door open and I said, I never really cared until I met you. And we sang it all the way out to the chorus. And the background vocal in the chorus is like, how do I get you alone? It's so high. Yeah. It may even be higher than that, but I don't want to scream at the top of my lungs. But I heard it in the car today, and I was like, yeah. It made me think of that moment with Keisha. She's the best.
Wait. Speaking of national anthem, did you see Chris Stapleton sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl? Imagine you didn't, but
I did not.
It was beautiful, man.
He's great.
Yeah, I know people get weird about the anthem these days, and that's their own thing. They can definitely feel that way if they want, but like, I was in band for years and like it was a big deal, the national anthem, and like getting the cadence of it correct. And it's always been like this real stickler for me. Mm-hmm. And there's some people who like really go off script and like try to make it their own thing and like just completely ruin the feeling of the song. And Chris Stapleton, he played guitar and sang it, right? And he did his own thing, while keeping the spirit of it. And that's the best version of when that happens, when somebody can actually make it their own, but you got to keep that certain heart of that song that is supposed to go through it. And like, whenever it's done correctly, I always get like goosebumpies and I kind of like slightly teary eyed. Yeah. And it's not because of like some undying patriotism I have or whatever. It's just because the song itself is like structured in such a way that invokes that feeling in you. And when it's done weird, it's just like, you suck. I don't care how many records you sold. That is terrible. How dare you? Yeah, but he nailed it, dude. He was like, he's got a great voice. It was really good.
The national anthem, the United States national anthem, is considered by many to be the worst written song of all time. And I'm not sure what that's about, but it is. And yeah, Francis Scott Key, I don't know what the deal is. But anyway.
The worst written song of all time?
One of the worst written songs of all time. Possibly the worst country anthem there is. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there you go. Now you know. Congratulations.
Do you feel that way?
No.
Yeah.
I like the melody.
Yeah.
It's based around the beginning is in our major arpeggio.
Yeah.
Da, da, da. That's fifth, third root, third, fifth root. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, now you know.
There it is.
Is that right? Fifth, third, da, 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 da. Da, yeah. Da, da. Yeah, it is. Anyway, now you know. Major chord, whatever key you want it to be in. Most guitar players play it in E because E is one of the best major keys on the guitar. Anyhow, that'll do. I used to play guitar. Did you know that?
Really?
I did.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So we watched The Bad Batch. Yeah. Did you watch The Bad Batch?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And any thought, I mean, by this point, nobody cares because when this show comes out, the Mandalorian episode will be out and another episode of Bad Batch. But what's your take on that? They got the ship back.
Yeah.
The whole bit with the Temple of Doom freeing the kids enslaved.
Mm.
What do you think?
I actually like. I know some people were kind of like. I heard like saw some ramblings on Twitter being like, man. But like, it's surprisingly one of my favorite episodes recently. Recent episodes. I don't. I think maybe because I'm just a sucker for. The good guy saving the day trope. I don't know what it is, but I really don't like bullies. And yeah. the ultimate bully like got his comeuppance. Like, and also, and what's also like one of my least favorite things in the world. And I can't remember which Monty Python does that dude like eat himself to death? He literally explodes. Is it Life of Brian?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember which one it is, but like I can't ever watch that. Cause like one of my least favorite things is like extremely like sloppy eating. Like the sounds, like the over engorging of it all. Like, it's just so like, it's just gross. And that guy just like going to town on all that food when all those kids were starving and like begging for his attention and like begging for his praise and everything else. And it was never good enough. And like, I was so, so pumped up when he fucking died. I was like, yes, goodbye, you weird looking metal armed piece of shit.
That guy was the worst, man.
Yeah.
And one of the things that Cruiser and I were talking about is that he really seemed to get off on keeping the kids down. Like, it wasn't just about using them to his advantage. He genuinely was happy to oppress them. That was part of his enjoyment of the whole thing. And that makes him extra crappy.
Yeah.
But he...
It's like a bully in high school. Like, that you like you know, like or like the really popular senior or something who loved to like push freshmen around and they all vied for his attention and shit like that. That's how it felt like, but worse because he was starving them.
Right.
You know,
and for them to not realize that the like kind of like a Stockholm syndrome thing that, well, we want them to like us so much, and pitting them against each other in an impossible to win contest. And yeah. the kid steals this ship that he barely knows how to fly, and he's still not the top earner of the cycle. Yeah. I mean, what's the other kid stealing?
Yeah.
But I thought it was cool that Omega was the one who figured out how to track the ship by tracking Gonki. Yeah. That she was the one that got him there and really pushed on them, and that the kid like naturally came around and was like, hey, sorry, I'm just trying to survive. And that they ended up, she helped. Omega was the hero of the day. She was the one who found out that the guy was actually running a profitable operation, and he was just sticking it to these kids. And those kids were, they just weren't having it. And how quickly they banded together, even though they had been taught to be against each other all this time, and kill the dude.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm not. And then right after that, Kira puts the ring in the thing, and Darth Maul was there. Oh wait, that's not, that's wrong show. But
I, you know what it was like? It was very much like The Lion King with Scar and the hyenas.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You know how like he had done all that shit and ruined the land and everything else. And, and then they blamed everything on the hyenas. It was a lot like that. And they turned on him quickly. Yeah. It was
that
very satisfying.
Sucked, man. But yeah, I was glad to see it. I was glad the Bad Batch got their ship back. I was glad that Omega was really trying to explain to the kid that, look, that's our home. And because the nature of home and what that means to her is pretty profound.
Yeah.
And that kind of home... Home's where you make it. You like to see homos naked. No.
Home's where you make it.
Yeah, but home is where you make it. And I think that's a good lesson to learn.
Sweet, sweet fucking Waterboy reference.
Oh, man. Waterboy. Is that what that was from?
Yeah. It was the hillbilly with the nipple rings. He was like he was like the assistant coach. And nobody knew what he was saying.
This was from Joe Dirt.
No.
I'm almost positive Joe Dirt is.
Oh, you're right. No, you're right.
The house,
no.
And it's the guy. We're thinking of the same guy.
Yeah, no, because you're right. Because in Waterboy, he was like, "Learn up high another day." He's like, "Yeah, that's what it is."
He was in Community. He was the guy who was playing Jeff Winger in pool.
Yeah.
In his regulation PE attire of shorts and.
Yeah. I remember now, because that was definitely David Spade going, you like to see homos naked? No, yeah. Homos where you make it.
Home where you make it. Anyhow, but I thought it was
really that makes sense, the same guy transcending into, you know, a David Spade movie from Adam Sandler. It makes sense.
I really enjoyed the episode. I did. I liked it. And the kids seemed to like it. So, yeah, it's a win-win all the way around.
I tell you what, the animation seemed extra good this episode. I don't know what it is. The detailing of the bad guy, like when they were on the bridge, was like really profound and like really crisp, and like I don't know what it was, it just seemed exceptional this week.
I think one thing that really sticks out to me in this is that like, the lighting, of all the scenes was just right. They're in a mine that's supposed to look a certain way, and it did. It really did. It looked great. Like you could almost smell the dust and the stale
grease.
It was good, man. I really liked it. And I think, was that the 9th, 10th episode, right?
Yeah, because there's like 6 left, right?
Yeah, something like that. So cool.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure what they were going to do if they couldn't get the ship back, exactly how that was going to play out. But we'll see. Freaking Sid not coming to get him.
That's a bummer right there.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like, oh, I was just about to come get you. Yeah, I'm sure. I wonder if that's going to put a sour taste in their relationship. That like they made a big deal to say, hey, we've been there for you when you really needed us, and now you're not showing up when we need you the most.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got shit going on. Okay.
I can't believe she said shit on a kid's show.
Right? Yeah, that was pretty. That was pretty crazy.
Very unexpected.
Yeah,
transition.
But a cool thing to happen for sure. Yeah.
So yeah, there it was, Bad Batch. Yeah. And the other thing we watched was The Last of Us. Now, mind you, I have not seen the most recent episode, which, as we're recording, came out approximately 24 hours ago.
Yep,
I haven't seen it yet. So we're not going to talk about that one. We're going to talk about the one from the week before, which was episode 6.
Yeah, which is a fantastic episode.
Very, very good. Yeah. Very good. So for anybody who's watching the show, obviously by now, this is old news, so I won't go in beat for beat. But the part that super sticks out to me is, for one, I thought Ellie was awesome in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
But Pedro Pascal, Pedro, that's how he pronounces his name.
Pedro?
Pedro.
Yeah.
But he delivered this monologue to his brother, where he talked about how scared he was, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
He moved me. And to know, he talks about, I'm old now and I'm slow and I can't do this and I need you to do this. And it was, part of it was seemed very unselfish in that I'm going to get this kid killed. I need you to get her to safety.
Yeah.
But at the same time, part of it was selfish, because what his fears are really about is what happened to his daughter.
Yeah.
That's really what it stems from. And just the way he delivered it, oh my gosh, it was so good. And one thing that really sticks out to me in this is how much Amanda is into the show.
Yeah.
I did not see that coming. And that is a huge plus in my book, and really shows you the power of how they're doing it. Mm-hmm. So hot darn, The Last of Us.
Yeah. I rarely ever tweet unless it's about this show or retweeting your stream or something like that. But like, I made two posts this week, and because they were both like, you know, obviously had an emotional week, and I was trying not to be too online about it. But one was like, we need to be paying EMTs like double what they're making now, because they are like the silent heroes of the of our country sometimes, them and firefighters and others. But like, the other thing was that meme going around of Pedro Pascal like clutching his chest and not being able to breathe was way too real this week, and I was seeing it like everywhere. I was like, Jesus, like it was like affecting me.
Yeah.
And but like at the same time, like I did a Patreon episode about episode 6 today that I'm going to release tomorrow. On Tuesday. That, you know, I kind of talked about it, and then I was like, man, he got over that really fast. I guess that's the magic of television. But like that fear that he had was gripping him so much that it caused him to like stop and like have to catch his breath and feel his heart pounding. And when he was describing it, like the way I talked about it a little bit on the Patreon episode, was like when he finally got his brother alone and was able to have an intimate conversation with him, he was finally able to let go of like all of his bottled in emotions that he had. Mm-hmm. Like, I still didn't hear him mention that Tess was dead. I know he told him once that she was fine, but I never heard him say that actually Tess was dead.
Yeah, I don't think he did.
But you know, that moment between those two, and I always forget the other dude's name, and I feel bad. It's like Gabriel something. I forget his. Anyways, I was like, I remember saying, like, could they have just given us like slightly less attractive people? Because these two men are just eating up all the scene with, one, their incredible acting, but Jesus Christ, do they look good? And those are two incredibly handsome fellows. So, of course, they're brothers. That makes sense. But you're right, though. Like, Pedro Pascal in that scene was just incredible. And when they did the follow-up scene right after that, where Elliot heard him, what he was saying, and they did that scene that was pretty much one for one of the game, was also incredibly gripping. Like, and like, mm-hmm. and like whenever she said, I'm not her, right. I'm not going to end up like your daughter. And he goes, don't say another word. Don't say your name, whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that is such a true thing. When somebody has suffered such loss like that to the point where they've shut out everything else, like emotion wise, except from Tess, really.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost that. And he was kind of a dick about that too. And now you're going to bring up the one thing in his life that he was proud of and lost, and literally lost in his arms, trying to save her. I think that's how most, I'm going to say men, but I would say most parents would be. If you evoke their name to prove your point.
Right. Yeah. That's, well, because it's just, it's crappy and not fair.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you're walking on holy ground at that point.
Yeah. It's like, how dare you? You didn't fucking know her. You don't really fucking know me. And the fact that you're going to try to use that to get your way is the biggest fucking bullshit I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. And I mean, on one hand, I understand that, like, look, I need you to save me. Yeah. I'm screwed if you don't. And, but yeah, I get, yeah.
It's cut way too deep. You know what I mean?
I loved, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say that I loved, Bella's performance in that moment as Ellie though. Mm-hmm. Like, and, you know, and I think I was listening to Syphilis, and Randy was talking about how he said that the video game, believe it or not, acted it out even better than that scene. And to me, that's true as well. It was one of those moments that, like, you watch in a video game and you're like, how am I getting this emotional about a video game?
Right.
And I think you said this about Red Dead, but they motion captured all those scenes in The Last of Us. Mm-hmm. Like, there were people together acting, and like, you could really tell. And it's such a compelling moment. Like, hey, everybody I know or cared about has died or left me except for fucking you. And you can't do that now. I need you. Like, we've been on this journey for 3+ months and now you're just going to leave. Yeah. That,
right.
I can see why she would pull out the big guns, but, it almost cost her.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I forgot to mention is I really enjoyed the Native American couple at the beginning.
Oh my God.
They cracked me up, and I'm trying to think of what the lady is from that I know her from.
Oh, I only remember the dude was in Die Hard with a Vengeance. He did a lot of things. But that's where I remember him from.
Hang on. Let me just look it up.
Yeah. I don't know her name. I feel bad. I can't remember the dude's name either. I'm so bad with names. It's worst. But they had such a real world like relationship about them that was great. Like, definitely lived together for 40+ years.
Right.
Like, they were like, they're making like non visual cues and everything, and just like made them soup. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that was.
Who's this little psycho when Ellie came down?
that was good. I really like.
He like, why didn't you shoot him? Well, the gun was way over there.
Yeah. I can't find it. Here we go. Okay, that's the Florence Elaine Miles. Her name was Florence. And let's see if I can. Oh yeah, Northern Exposure. That's where I know her from, because she was basically the exact same character. is in that. That's funny, man. And she looks like she hasn't aged a day since that show.
It was such an excellent thing to start the show on. Like, one, we like, oh, we're in the snow now. That's pretty cool. And how about the scenery, dude?
Oh,
my God.
So that was something that I brought up on the Sith list just out of curiosity. They're filming this on location in Canada.
Yeah.
And that kind of changes things, because if you've ever been to Canada, and I mean, honestly, if you've ever been to like Montana, slash Wyoming. It is a bunch of big empty space. It's really beautiful though. Yeah.
It's beautiful, but desolate.
But one of the things I was curious about is was it a struggle to be able to film that, to have like nothing there? No cars moving distantly in the background, no planes, or did they have to digitally remove that stuff because it was there? I was just curious because it looked amazing. I didn't doubt for a second that they were in a uninhabited wasteland, and I don't know, man. I just thought that was really cool. I enjoyed everything about the episode.
Yeah, it was a very, very enjoyable episode. And when Joel was sitting there like in the horse with the horse next day saying, well, I was planning on stealing this horse and getting in going, but I'm sitting for half an hour and decided to wait. And he's like, brother, why would I give you the horse? He's like, yeah, I know. And then he gave him his, what I loved about all of it was the very believable brother aspect of these two.
Yeah.
When they were there talking about like, you're full of shit saying you can hit one of these zombies from a half mile away. What the fuck are you talking about? Even with your new scope, there's no way, full of shit. And like, in Joel has like, you know, he has very like, very exact expectations of people, it seems. And he expected his brother to, okay, we'll fall back in line. I need you. Let's go. And his brother was like, well, I got a kid on the way. Just because life stopped for you doesn't mean it has to stop for me.
Right.
And it's just like they had a nice warm moment in the bar at first, and it quickly turned sour because Joel realized that I came out here to get you and you're not going to help me and you're not going to leave.
Right.
You know?
I came out here to rescue you, and it turns out you don't need to be rescued.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's one of those things too. When you see it unfolding, you think of how often that happens in real life where communication just completely breaks down and people are willing to just burn a bridge because they're mad. And what a shame that is. And glad that it worked out the way it did. I love the show, man. I really do. I wish that I had time to watch the most recent episode prior to now.
All right,
good. I mean, times, man.
It's become a thing at this point, so I mean,
well, if it came out like a day earlier, maybe I could do it.
I'll ask you after the show. Never mind. Just cut that out.
Well, I'm not editing it. It's just too bad.
Well, people just wonder what I was thinking.
Yeah. So have we missed anything? What else have we watched? What else have we done?
I'm trying to think of something else I watched. I've not been watching anything except like a bunch of like how-to videos on YouTube for video editing. So that's about it, really. I've not been watching a lot of shows or anything. I thought I'd been watching the typical video podcast I watch. I guess my mind's been somewhere else this week, I guess. But
then I guess it's time. Oh, by the way, I'm still watching Lost. I'm in the middle of season 5. I keep dozing off during the episodes though, because I watch them late at night. But anyhow. Yeah. Now it's time for the video game Power Hour. Imagine Pac-Man. That's the sound effects. Do, 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 do. Music, music, music. So obviously I have backed way off on my streaming because of just life getting in the way, but I still really enjoy doing it. And Henry and I had a good time streaming Lego City Undercover.
That game looked cool, man.
I've not played it much with him before that day. I've played it a little bit on the other Xbox on his gamer account. But we decided to stream it, and he calls it our channel. He goes, I think this will be good on our channel, that people will like it. But it actually is really neat. And so if you've never seen this game, Lego Cities Undercover, The graphics, obviously, it's Lego, but it looks great. The mechanics of it are pretty compelling. It's quite a bit like a Rockstar game with the GPS that pops up when you need it, and it's story-driven, but there's also like the open-world element to it. And it's neat. It's just really neat. I think the characters are cool. The humor in it is quite good. There was a joke in there. They were talking this. You're in this mine. And you have to get a miner's outfit to be able to do certain things. So that's what they do instead of have you switching characters all the time. You're switching outfits. So like I'm a miner because I need to get my pickaxe out and do this. Well, now I have to switch to my police officer uniform so that I can use my grapple gun. Yeah. And all that sort of thing. But they're talking to one of the miners. I don't even know what they're mining. I guess it doesn't matter. But he's talking about, yeah, if I hadn't become a miner, I was thinking about joining the military. And then I would have been a major instead of a minor. Little music joke there. Half step difference in between those two. Anyway, I thought that was funny. But yeah, that's been really good.
Right uptown for you.
Yeah. Stella and I have gotten back into Fortnite as much as we can. And we've had some pretty decent games. Had some real weird glitches happen where we ended up taking second in a match because the Deku Smash just like froze on her.
Yeah.
She landed on the ground and was cocked back with it and just couldn't move. Nothing would happen. Yeah. She couldn't throw it. She couldn't do anything. And I was dead. And the person who ultimately won the match, you could tell they like froze because they weren't sure what they were supposed to do. Why are they just standing there? And so we got second. She was pissed.
Oh, yeah.
Man, yeah, she was most displeased. And then I texted Cruiser. I said, I have a statement to make. I said, the Deku Smash is the punk-ass bitch of Fortnite weapons. It's the same as something. I don't even remember what I said.
Yeah.
But it is because I took second in a solo match because that's what the person had at the end. And I mean, I was drilling them when they were up in the air with a pretty powerful weapon and just it still wasn't enough.
Yeah.
It's just, it's...
Yeah.
When done right, no can defend. And it's like, all right, Mr. Miyagi. Yeah. So.
Well, hey, we played right after our show last week. And we the first game we played, we won. That was pretty sweet.
That was nice for Switch.
And then we proceeded to not win the next three we played. But we still did pretty good each time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But getting a win off a ramp always feels really good, you know? And I feel like I've been getting some freaking disgusting sniper shots with that heavy sniper. It's been pretty great. And and even I was playing with my son and stuff, like I streamed it and what the best though was, you know, it was great getting that win with you. That's okay. I always like playing a game with you. We have a good time. But like playing with my son, it's a range of emotions just because of, you know, how he reacts to things and the next, you know, how I react. It's all different and whatever. But like we streamed a couple times last week and we the last one we did, we only played for like, I don't know, maybe an hour, maybe. And the last game we won. And like it was a really like dramatic finish because like he had just gotten knocked down after he had just like hammered this shit out. This dude who was like hanging out in the building and like he went flying and was already knocked and out of the way. And his buddy had a golden rocket launcher. And those things, you know, think about Fortnite, the rocket launcher really like reloads really slow, but the golden one reloads a lot faster. And so it's able to shoot quicker in succession. And I think I had the legendary pistol. Right. And so we were fighting back and forth and he was like behind this wall and he hit me a little bit with the rocket launcher, but not enough to kill me. I came around and started drilling him with that pistol and he switched out his gun. We were both almost dead. I got the last shot before he got me. And that's always the best feeling. It's amazing how many of those fights come down that way in Fortnite to the very last like slivers of health.
Yeah.
And it's very exciting when that happens.
One thing I figured out, by the way, and it's not flawless, but I can't tell if I'm messing it up by touching the right analog stick by accident. But one thing that I've found is that I try to get my sniper rifle and a DMR side by side in my loadout.
Yeah.
And then I'll aim at the person if they're standing still, like if they're up camping on something, which that's another thing. by the way, if you camp in that game, quit being a baby. All right. Yeah. I realize the goal is to win, but it's, you're being a baby. Stop it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you see a camper and they're sitting there in the wide open and you're coming at them from the side, if you squat down and you aim at their head with the heavy sniper rifle and fire, it takes forever to reload.
Yeah.
But if you can not touch the analog, the right analog stick on your controller, the reticle is going to stay in the same place. So what you do is you very swiftly bumper it over to your DMR, pull left trigger again, and you should be aiming right at their head again and with the gun that's ready to shoot.
Nice.
And unless they're just like so fast that they move out of the way. But most of the time it stuns them because they're like, I mean, the player themselves, they're shocked because they're sitting there up on top of this big old grassy hill thinking, and it's pretty great.
Yeah. That heavy sniper is awesome. I love when you get like the purple one that has the two shots and then you get the, or the augment that gives you two shots.
Uh-huh.
I tell you what I do not like is that exotic one, the exotic heavy sniper. Have you seen that?
What's the buff on it?
Well, it's like five rounds.
Uh-huh.
But they're like explosive rounds, mm-hmm. and they don't have the same telemetry. Uh-huh. As the traditional heavy sniper, like it's slightly like it tends to be more like a little more like grenade launchery.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not nearly as effective for me as the regular one because the regular heavy sniper is so powerful. It doesn't really, if you can get them in the head, they're going to get knocked down.
Right.
But like, you know, that's what I try to do is get him in the head and at least knock him down. But even if I don't have a heavy sniper, I always hit that two bullet augment when it comes up, just in case I get one, because mm-hmm. that's invaluable if you could do that. But yeah, I don't know. There's some of those exotic weapons like that red eye exotic assault rifle. In certain sorts, like it's that red eye assault rifle. I am so hit or miss with it. Like that's a weird thing to say. Like obviously, but like sometimes. Sometimes I'm just like nailing people with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it just doesn't seem to fucking line up. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. I feel you, man.
Because that exotic one's explosive as well. Mm-hmm. And when you are hitting people with it, like they go down quick. And I've died a lot to it because it's so powerful when you're hitting your shots right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you hit them in like the lower extremities or something, like it's just like takes off barely anything. You have to hit them like in the core or in the head. And the SMG is pretty good, but still my favorite is the pistol. It's just too good. It's too good from multiple ranges. It's really good.
Yeah, it's quite good. I like the heavy shotgun too, though, because it's so accurate from a long distance. It's so fake. You know, I don't know. If you shoot a shotgun with the slug, I'm sure it's pretty flies pretty true. But
yeah, I mean that's they hunt with those around here. So I mean, one thing I always forget about that pistol though is that you can hold down the trigger and it'll just, you know, I just pull the trigger every time. It feels more natural to me to do it that way.
Well, your recoil becomes less of a problem.
True.
And that's one of the things that I do with the assault rifles is I shoot it in bursts, even if it's not the burst assault rifle, because your aim will stay more true.
True.
But anyway, me, here I am a soldier, but what else you been playing, man? Anything?
Well, of course, I've been playing the Brotato, and I gotta tell you, I know nobody knows what this fucking game is who listens to this show, but I'm telling you, it's the most addictive game I've ever played, and it's so good. And like, it's got all these little characters and stuff, and there's different levels you can get to like maxing out your character, you got to do there's a zero and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 levels that you have to pass through to complete a character, and there's like 20 some characters, and I finally maxed out one of them, and it's like people might think it's hard, but it's really hard for me because there's a whole bunch of shit going along at the same time. Like you're doing a lot of like statistical analysis at the same time, trying to figure out which things you're doing benefit you the most at the time, and like sometimes you'll get some stats, it'll take away other stats that you needed, but like you need at least more. So you got, you're trying to weigh what the end game is going to be and stuff like that. Hmm. And each of these different potatoes have a different skill set they start off with. And then some like will multiply certain benefits to an nth degree. And the one I beat it with is like the speed demon of the group, who starts off with like plus 30 speed. Mm-hmm. And every time you add speed, it adds melee damage. So like it compiles those. So but you have to use melee damage the whole time. So there's all these different attributes you got to work on to figure out what flows. I'm finally like starting to really understand how it really works. And it's like, it's so much fun. And I found out the other day, that it's coming to iOS, so I'm screwed. It's gonna be on mobile. because if you play it, like you could see, you can tell how it'd be a fantastic mobile game because you don't tell it to he'll shoot or hit, or you don't tell it to the action. Like you move it around, right? Mm-hmm. And then it does the action based off the attributes you've set for it. But it's not like you're not doing it, it's not turn-based, you know what I mean? But like you're just moving your character and he's hitting whatever you have. You can get like six weapons and shit. And so it'd be perfect for a little thumb slider game. So yeah, that's coming out in August, I think. It costs $5. And it's the best $5 you ever spend. So look for that.
Oh, there you go. It's pretty lofty endorsement, man.
I'm telling you, once you get into it, it's really fucking good.
IGN had several hour clip of playing Jedi Survivor. Mm-hmm. And I haven't watched it, but you and I talked about this before. The takeaway I saw is that they've improved the gameplay compared to Fallen Order in all the right ways, I think is the phrasing I saw. The good stuff is even better, and the stuff that needed work has been worked on. So that sounds exciting. I'm very much looking forward to that game.
I am too. That's coming out in April now or June?
Yeah, April. Yeah. So. All
right. My dog's freaking out. He keeps walking down the stairs. He's got to go pee.
That's all right. Well, hey, man, what perfect timing. Because I think that's going to do it. So listen, be sure to check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators because, you know, we need your support. And thank you to the patrons. Seriously, you guys have been with us a long time and it genuinely means a lot to us. Yeah. It really does. Check out TeePublic and Redbubble for merch. Check out Cruiser's stream on Twitch and mine. The links are right there in the show description. Mm-hmm. Follow the show on Twitter @bad_motivators and so on and so forth. So here's what I'm going to say. Sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
The Bad Motivators.